what the answer is a lady. Since the Torah writes the reason, Kishul Lechem Alamdo, so since the purpose of having a Sefer Torah is to be able to learn from it, women are not Mechiv and Talmud Torah, so therefore the women are not Mechiv in the Mitzvah. And others disagree and they say that's not the nature of the Mitzvah. Mitzvah is not the Sefer Torah to learn. Mitzvah is in order to be Marbe Sefer Torah in the world, to preserve the correct text of the Chamish and Chamish Torah. That was a big machloikas. I commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah, then I donate it to the shul. So after the Achronim Hall, you just lost the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah, you should have a Sefer Torah available whenever you want. You should be able to learn from it. Others say no. Even if you give it to the shul, the Mitzvah is to be Marbe Sefer Torah in the world in order to preserve the authentic text of the Sefer Torah. The Pesach Shul in your day quotes that Machlokes. Okay. And then the Melech has an obligation to write because of us Mishnah HaTorah HaZos. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? Only the Melech has a mitzvah. Why does every Yochid? You must know Melech has a mitzvah to write a second Sefer Torah. And the second Sefer Torah has to be a small one. And he should be able to carry Korobah Kol Yimei Chayiv. He has to carry it with him all the time. Ha'isa'imah v'korobah Kol Yimei Chayiv. So the Sifrei has a drasha that the Rama writes. Yimei Chayiv ha'yamim Kol Yimei Chayiv ha'leilos. Just like we say by Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim. And says in Parshas Re'eh, you have to bring a Korban Pesach, eat a Korban Pesach. In order that, the Mantiskas, to make Yom Tzeis Chamei Yitzayin, Ko Yimecha Yecha, Yimecha Yecha HaYomim, Ko Yimecha Yecha HaLilos. We have to say the third Parsha in Shema, not only by Shachris, Ko Yimecha Yecha, Kol Is Marbe Yivu Leilos, it's night. So here the Rambam writes, the Melech has to learn from the Sefer Torah by Yom HaBalayla, every single day, a little bit in the daytime, a little bit in the nighttime. That's a Sefer Torah Sheni. Mishnah Torah is a Sefer Torah Sheni he has to write. But one Sefer Torah, everybody has to have that one Sefer Torah. Okay. That was the Shaila that we discussed. Halakeh Sefer Torah Menashuk, Kechotev Mitzvah Menashuk. The Rashi says you're Yotzeh in Mitzvah, but you're not Yotzeh Mishlei Musa. Ksavoi, if you wrote it, or you conditioned the Sefer Torah, you're better. Mabakaz, the Kibbutz Me'arsim. Then the Gemara says, what if you give Isachas, Malavakas, also Kilitzah? Why is he give Isachas? Tosfos writes, Ivan Maskin, he give Isachas. Because the fellow who sold it to me, I bought it. Kind of Sefer Torah Menashu, that's cheating. Kechait the mitzvah, Yerat Yetzin, the mitzvah, Mishlei Musa. But if the fellow who sold it to me had a puzzle of Sefer Torah Menashu, I'd say, let him like that. He's in violation of the din. So this test is by Shaharei. Shahaya Masha Sefer Shein and Mugin. The Gemara has a din in Tzubis. There's a pasuk that's in Mishnah. Al Tashkin Ba'alecha Avla. You're not permitted to maintain an Avla. An Avla means something that's improper. You're not permitted to keep an Avla. Al Tashkin Ba'alecha Avla. What does it refer to? The Gemara says it refers to a shtar. That's parua. That's a shtar that says you owe me $1,000. Then you want to pay me the money. I said, I don't have the shtar here with me. So you can say, you don't want to pay me the money till I give you back the shtar. But we trust each other. So you say, here's $1,000, and make sure you rip up the shtar. So I go home, and I don't bother to rip up the shtar. I'm honest, we like each other. I said, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to have a shtar parua in the house, because you may die and your children will think that he owes the money and then you're going to go produce the shtar and you're going to make him pay and he really paid him it. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to keep a shtar parua around the house. You have to rip it. Kerabezn, you go like this. You fold it in four. You rip it in a diagonal way, so it's a crisscross in the middle of the shtar, like this. So that's yadua, that the shtar is paid. We shouldn't be able to collect. When I got married, I gave my wife a ksuba. And after a couple of years, we had two girls. And after a couple of years, my wife forgot where she put the ksuba. Then is you're not allowed to live with your wife if she doesn't have a ksuba. So I had to write the shtar ksuba dirkas, and we had to write another ksuba. When you write so the Achrenim say you should have a bezin. So we had, instead of having two people sign, you should have three people sign. And a Kriya's Bezna has to be Bayom. A Ksuvi you can write Bayom or Balayla. I get you can write Bayom or Balayla. But if you need a Bezna, you can't have a Kriya's Bezna Balayla. So we had to get three people work for a living. I had religious people in my building. So I had to ask them when they came home from work, it was before the Shkia. So I said, I need a Bezna Bayom. We have to make Shtar Ksuvi Birkasa. So one of them was a kibitzer. So one of them, after the three people signed the Ksuvah Dirkasa, he said, this time it should be a boy. Because we had two girls as well. The next one was a boy. My wife had a boy after that. So then, a year later, my wife found the Ksuvah now. So you're not allowed to have two shtaris on the same chayiv, because you may collect twice. That's like keeping a shtar peru around the house. So when she found she had the ksuba in the house, she was supposed to rip up one of them. So she didn't want to rip up the original one. That was the original one that he gave under the chuppah. So instead of ripping up the shtar ksuba there, because that's a collector's item, it's a fancy thing. So we took a scissor, we folded it in four lines like this. If you fold paper, if you keep on folding paper many times, it's always going to rip a little bit. So if you have a shtar that has, it's a little ripped over here, that doesn't mean that it's a puzzle to shtar. It means that you folded it so many times, the paper is only so strong. But if you have a carat bezin crisscross like this, in the middle of the shtar, that means that it's a puzzle to shtar. That's the common practice when you give a get. The Mishnah says, after the husband gives a get, you need two aidim watching. The Mishnah happens to be talking about a case that the woman appointed the shliach le kabbalas aget. So it says you need two eidim when the woman appoints the shliach le kabbalas aget, and two eidim who testify later shekibo le kora, that the husband gave the get to the wife and they ripped it up afterwards. And I said, why did they rip up the get? The woman needs the get in order to prove that she was divorced and she wants to remarry. So Gemara says this Mishnah was written shaz gzeres malchus shanim. The Roman government, like under the communists, they didn't allow you to observe any mitzvahs. If they catch you keeping a mitzvah, they put you in prison. The communists, that was the first time in the history of the world that a government adopted a policy, an official policy of atheism. They didn't allow any religions. So under the Romans, they wanted everybody to worship their religion. They didn't allow any other religions. So if they would catch someone that he gave his wife a get, so they put him in jail, they can kill him. So the practice would be, the religious Jews would give a get, and then they would rip it up into tiny little pieces to make sure that they shouldn't be caught later on, that the government shouldn't put them in prison. But today, the practice is, we still rip up the get. How does the woman prove that she's allowed to remarry? So the Bezdin, we usually have a Bezdin of three, so the Bezdin signs a p'tur. Bezdin writes a document, this is to ascertain that the husband wrote a kosher get, we supervise the husband wrote a kosher get, gave it to the wife, and the wife is permitted to remarry. She can marry anybody she wants. She can't marry a kohen. She write out the whole story. And if the woman had an affair with someone else, and that's why she has to get divorced, so you write, the woman is allowed to remarry anybody she wants, not allowed to marry a kohen, and not allowed to marry the man with whom she had the affair. That you have to write into the get also. There was an incident years ago. I live in Washington Heights. There was a girl from Washington Heights married a boy who was learning by Rav Moshe Feinstein, and then the girl had an affair. Her father was a big tzaddik. The girl's father was a big tzaddik, but the girl apparently was not such a big tzaddik. She had an affair with her dentist, a Jewish dentist, and they had to get divorced. So Rav Moshe used to do the gittin in his home. So when the husband wrote the get, he gave the get. So the husband was beginning to become world famous. If I'd say the name. Everybody here would know who it is. So they had children. So Rav Moshe felt bad. They're going to write in the p'tur. She's allowed to marry anybody she wants. She's not allowed to marry God. She's not allowed to marry the dentist that she had the affair with. So he didn't want to write that in the p'tur. So he pulled the girl into his bedroom. And he told her she's not allowed to marry the man with whom she had the affair. That's a din asot, asur lebaal, asur lebaal. And he said he wants her to swear to him that she's not going to marry him. So she swore to him. She didn't. He remarried and she remarried. So he didn't put it into the p'tur because this fellow was beginning to become world famous. Now everybody, all the Jews all over the world know who that person is. and he was afraid that his children would have difficulty finding a shidduch if the woman is going to show the to it to anybody. He's going to say she can marry anybody except for the one with whom she had the affair. So the practice is we take away the get from the woman and we give her a document written by the bezin. We call it a Yiddish p'tur. Usually it's written in Hebrew. I remember once a woman came to my father. My father was a rabbi. A woman came, she wanted to remarry. She was previously married. So my father said, do you have a document that said, she produces a document that's typed in French. My mother was born in Montreal, so my mother knew French. So my mother read it. That's what it said. It was signed by three Orthodox rabbis from France, not from Montreal. It was signed. My mother was born in Montreal, but the Besna in France typed the Ptur in French instead of writing in Hebrew. Common practice is you write the Ptur in Hebrew, but they wrote the Ptur in French. So the common practice is that when you give the woman the get, when they get divorced, after he gives the woman the get, the bezin takes the get and he makes such a kara bezin, they fold in a four and they cut it diagonally so you can't use this get for anything. And then we give the woman a different document signed by the bezin that she was duly divorced and she's allowed to remarry. Okay. We're floating off the topic. Why do we talk about that? Yeah, so there's the din, you're not allowed to be masish, you're not allowed to be masher. A sefer sheina mugi, if you have a sefer that has mistakes in it, that's a violation of the pasuk in Mishnah. Al tashkin ba'alecha avlo, or you're not allowed to have a shtar paruach, or a shtar amana. You're not allowed to have a shtar that you're not allowed to collect with. You're not allowed to have two shtaris on the same chayv. So that's what happened when my wife misplaced her ksuba. There's some women who think that when they go on vacation, they always have to take the ksuba with them. When they travel to Eretz Yisrael, they have to take the ksuba with them. Otherwise, they're not allowed to be with their husband. They don't have to have the ksuba in their pocketbook all the time. They have to know where it is. They have to know. They put it away somewhere in the house. They know where it is. Even if they give it to someone else. Let's say many have the practice. They give the ksuba to their parents. The girl gives the ksuba to her parents. Says, hold on to the ksuba for me. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. What if the woman trusts her husband? She gives the husband the ksuba. The whole reason why you need a ksuba, why do you need a ksuba? Shloi tei kalabiena lohotziya. That the husband should know. He can't just, the wife is not so easily disposable. If he decides he wants to get rid of the old wife and marry a young secretary in his office, he should realize he's going to have to pay for this. Because the ksuba is now about $100,000. So it's going to cost him a lot of money. He can't just get rid of his wife. So the reason why she needs the ksuba, she should feel secure. She should know that she shouldn't have to give in to any whim, any mishigas that the husband has. She should realize he can't get rid of her so easily. If he wants to divorce her, it's going to have to cost him a lot of money. It costs around $100,000. So the shaila is, what if she trusts someone? So she can have a trusted person. What if she trusts the husband? Can she give? She'll give the ksuba to him and say, you put away the ksuba, hold it for me. But later on, if he'll want something crazy from her, she won't want to do it. So she may feel compelled to do it because she has no ksuba. She's trusting the husband, but the husband is going to be the one who may argue with her later on. Rav Moshe has a chiddush in his tshuvas. He says, even if the wife trusts the husband, if she only trusts the husband because they're married, and if not for that, she doesn't know how honest he is, then he can trust him at the ksuba. But she thinks he's absolutely honest. Even if she wouldn't marry him, she would have trusted him. So then he has a chiddush. The husband can hold the ksuba for his wife, and that's also good. But the wife doesn't have to take the ksuba with her all the time. But when my wife found the old ksuba, then she has two ksubas, so you're not allowed to have two shtaris on the same chayv, because you may collect twice. I'll go to one bed. My wife will go to one bed, and she'll say, my husband divorced me, and then she wants to collect the ksuba. So then they'll collect it, and they'll rip up that ksuba. Then she'll wait a month, go to a different bed, and say, my husband divorced me, and here's the ksuba. She has two ksuba, she can collect twice. The second bezin won't know that she already collected the ksuba in the first bezin. So that's why you have to make a kerat bezin. It's just going to be ripped a little bit where you folded it. That's not a kerat bezin, so she'll be able to collect with that. But if you have such a crisscross in the middle of the shtar, that's called a kerat bezin. So that's what the last two lines in the Tesis in the Gearboy. Tesis is quoting this Gemara in Ksubas. The Bimash of Sefer Shein Amuga is in violation of the Din Al Tashkim Ba'alecha Avos. We mentioned, I think, before that Chaim Heller made a new translation of the the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam, was written originally in Arabic. So those of us who don't know Arabic, so we use Ibn Tibbon, wrote a translation of the Sefer Mitzvahs. And he writes in his introduction, he doesn't really know Arabic so well, but I'll try to do a good job. So it was always assumed that was out of humility he wrote like that. Rav Chaim Heller says, no, he made a mistake here and there. He didn't understand Arabic so well, so every so often there's a mistake. Rav Chaim Heller took the old translation of Ibn Tibbon on the Sefer Mitzvahs Lama, and here and there, whenever he thought there was a mistake, he would correct it. And he has footnotes on the bottom of the page to explain. In the Arabic, it says like this, and Ibn Tibbon didn't understand what it meant, but it really means this, and correct it. So that came out during the lifetime of the Chafetz Chaim. He said, the Chafetz Chaim said that now that you have Chaim held in Sefer Mitzvah Rambam, you're not allowed to keep the old one. You have to have Rav Chaim Heller's. It didn't work. Everybody still uses the old translation with the mistakes in it. And now we have better. Now, Rav Chaim Heller, he took the old translation of Ibn Tibbon, which is very choppy. Even when it's accurate. But every language has a different way of writing it. You can't have a literal translation word for word. You have to write expressions. So it's very choppy. So Rav Chaim Heller took the old translation, which is choppy, and just corrected the mistakes. Now they have new translations in Gansen. Kapach and others, after Kapach, they have new translation of the Sefer Mitzvah that reads in normal Hebrew. It doesn't read like a choppy translation. Okay, so getting back. There's a mitzvah ksiva Sefer Torah. It has to be a kosher Sefer Torah. If it's not a kosher Sefer Torah, then you're not yet to the mitzvah. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, that's where we left off. Tana Rabbanan. Also, the urea is from stitches to stitches. That's a sheet of cloth, of parchment. So you can make a urea. How many columns should you have in every urea? The urea is approximately the same size. You can have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Shalosh dapin, 3 columns, va'ad bas, shmoina dapin. Bachas bekein, v'yesa kein l'yasa. You shouldn't take a normal size urea and only make 2 columns. If you're going to make 2 columns, it's going to be 25 words on a column. Here. The column's going to go like this, and then you have to remember you're in the middle. You're 15 lines down. How are you going to find where the line is? It's going to take you a long time until you go back to the beginning of the line. If you have short columns here, Taisis is so wide, the Mar is so wide, the Rashi is so wide. So if you're at the end of one line, you can go quickly to the beginning of the next line. Go quickly to the beginning of the next line. It's going to be a line so long. So you're going to lose the place till you find the beginning of the next line. So that's what the Gemara says. You shouldn't make less than 2 columns on a normal size urea. If you have a urea that's smaller, you can make 2 columns. But if you have a normal size urea, you shouldn't make only 2 columns because the lines are going to be way too long. You shouldn't make more than 8 columns on the urea. Then it's going to look ridiculous. Each column is so skinny. Let's see, you're going to make the Sefer Torah. It's going to, the whole column is going to be the width of Tosfos, or the width of Rashi. It's going to look ridiculous. The columns are too short. The columns are the newspaper. New York Times. The columns are very narrow. Sefer Torah, you have a lot to say there. So it should be medium-sized. So what's normal? So you shouldn't have less than 3 columns because it's going to be too long. Bach became yes, makein layas. Shouldn't do. The layar bebedafin. Okay. The layar bebedafin. You should make too many columns on one cloth. They should never get it. So it looks like a letter. It doesn't look like a book. You want it to look like a sefer. It would be kosher to the end. But it doesn't look nice. And if you're going to have only one long column, so long, that's not a smart idea. Because at the end of the line, it's going to be hard to go back to the beginning. You're going to have to keep on putting your finger on the place till you go back. So it's not a smart thing to do. Ella, what's normal? What? How long should a column be? How many letters should it have? Ella, keep going. The Mishpacha Sech and Mishpacha Sech, the 3 times Gimel Torah. If you have 30 letters on every line, that's reasonable. How many lines should any given column have? So that's what Tosfos quotes, in the bottom Tosfos quotes, from Maseches Sofrim. Maseches Sofrim is like Maseches, like all the Maseches Mezuzah, Maseches Smachas. It's not from the days of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. It was written in the days of the Geoini Eretz Yisrael, after the days of the Gemara. So you're not believe, strictly speaking, I'm believe to follow everything that it says in Maseches Sofrim. Most of the things we follow, some of them we don't follow. So then the bottom thesis discusses it's normal to have the different opinions in Maseches Sofrim, and one of the popular views is each column should have 60 lines. If you want, let's say a normal piece of parchment, if you want, you can make, instead of 60, you can make 30, have the letters twice as tall. You can make 20 lines, have the letters three times. Make bigger letters. There's a din in the Sefer Torah. There's certain letters have to be Oseh's Gedolus, certain letters have to be, let's say, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kana Shabbat. I think the I in the Shema is supposed to be bigger than the other letters, and the Dalar Vechad is supposed to be bigger. It means in contrast to the other letters. But let's say, on this column, I'm going to have normal size letters. On this column, I'm going to have gigantic, big letters. But the whole column is consistent. So then it's not called Oseh's Gedolus. You didn't put Oseh's Gedolus, but it didn't belong. The whole tzad on this column is in Oseh's Gedolus. This is how the later, the Gemara says, you wrote a Sefer Torah, and then on the last column, he's supposed to end on the bottom of the page. That's what the Gemara says. Achum, you should end in the middle of the page, and you leave four blank lines. But the whole Sefer Torah should end on the bottom of the page. But what if you only have one pasuk left? How are you going to make 60 lines with one pasuk? Every line has to have at least 9 letters. You can't make 60 lines. And they said 60 lines is not miyak, but you have to write, you have to end the Sefer Torah on the bottom column. How can you write? Are you going to write? So you won't have 60. So Tosafot says, write bigger letters. Write a few words on one line, a minimum of 9 letters on every line. Many hold that that's miyak to be the end. If you don't have 9 letters on every line, it's not the Sefer Torah won't be kosher. They should have very big letters. That's not called a violation of putting Oseh's Gedolus, but they don't belong. The whole column is a larger size. Then Tosafot quotes Rabbi Tam, Kigon Mishmasech and Gimelpon. You should only have 30. What's normal is to have 30 letters on a line. So the Rabbi Tam says it depends how big the letters are. If the letters are bigger, then you can have the longer lines, because if the letters are bigger, so you'll be able to follow from the end of the line. You can have 40 letters on one line. If the letters are small, and you've got to have more than 30 letters on a line, then your eyes are going to float, it's going to be hard to get back to the beginning of the line. It's not a precise shiur dafka 30. That's what Tosafot quotes on the Mishnah. The Mishnah Chosech and Gimapam. Okay. What if you have a urea that's bigger than others, and the way we normally make columns, this urea, this piece of parchment, has enough room to put 9 columns. So they say you shouldn't do that. It's not going to be nice. So you should cut it in half. So how do you cut it in half? For the 9 columns, you shouldn't make 3 on one and 6 on the other. Try to make it approximately even. Make 4 columns here. 5 columns there, that's nice. That's a hidur mitzvah, be prettier. They should try to be uniform, approximately uniform. Ahmed Bar Mamurim, when do we have all these dinim mitchilas ha-sefer? When you're writing the whole sefer, when you get to the last page, Abu B'Soif ha-sefer, then you don't have to have 30 letters on every line. You only have one pasuk left to write on the last column. So you don't have to have 30 letters. You have 30 letters on one line, you won't be able to fill up. You have to end on the bottom line. You have to have at least 9 letters on every line. That's not, many hold that that's miyati. So it says, the last page of the Sefer Torah, afilu pasikecha, afilu dafecha, even if it's only one pasik, even if it's only one column. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? Pasikecha, bidafecha. You only have one pasik to write on the last column, so you can write the column from the top to the bottom, with only one person. So they said, how do you do that? There's not going to be 60 lines. So they say, write bigger letters. And that whole column will have bigger letters. That's not called Oseh's Gedolus, because the whole column is is consistent. So write bigger letters. Every line is going to have, say, you won't have 60 lines. You'll have 5 lines. And maybe only 4 lines. Make bigger letters, and every line should have at least 9 letters. And you finish at the bottom line. Then you have to have a little empty space on top and on the bottom. You don't write all the way to the top of the parchment, all the way to the bottom. You have to have a little empty space. A lot of times the cloth will rip. So you don't want to write so close to the edge of the cloth. If it rips a little bit, the cloth, the osius will get ripped. Shir gilyon milmat, the gilyon is the empty space. You have nothing with it. So how much empty space should you have on the bottom? You should have a whole tefach. The tefach is like this, with the thumb on top. Shalom, how much is a tefach? There are different opinions how much is a tefach. Moshe Feinstein writes, he measured many times with his fist, it always comes out 3.6. He doesn't understand how to have a machlokes, he measured all that. He measured with his fist. He should have measured with 100 people. You can't take an average. The same person measures. The Rebbe Yehuda measured also. It's told the Rebbe Yehuda. The Gemara in the end of Psochem, the last part from Psochem. So the Gemara tells you that a mikveh has to have mem saw. So a saw is a measurement. So you have to multiply how many beitzim there are. Okay, so you multiply, you get a whole number. So, and then the Gemara says how big the mikveh has to be. That is 3 masik mem saw. Am alama burum gim alama. 3 cubic amas. So the Rebbe Yehuda writes in his sefer the Tzlach on the end of Psochem, Tzion and Nefesh Chayam. He measured with his fist, and it came out to be 1 shear. Then he measured the beitzim, how many beitzim it is in the saw, and it comes out that it's less. Based on Amma Lama, the 6 tochen in an Amma has to be 3 cubic amas. So he measured with his fist, and it came out to be bigger than if he measured with the beitzim. So he said it must be. There's something cockeyed here, there's something wrong. There must be that the beitzim in our generation are smaller than they used to be. The skat nashir, the beitzim are smaller. And whenever you have to have a revius, a kazais, or whatever, you have to have twice as much. You need twice as much for all the shir. So one of the Talmidim of the Nadi Yehuda, the Nadi Yehuda family was taller than most people. His body was bigger. The Talmud says, jokingly, the Rebbe is an Adam Gadol. That's why your fist is bigger. If you measure an Adam Beinoni, so there won't be any steer. So now the Behuda chuckled. So it's a machlekes achrayim. What did the chuckle mean? Did he mean that he's right? You're right. My whole shtigul Torah is wrong, and the beitzim are not miskat. Well, it's a good joke. And Rebbe is an Adam Gadol, but he felt that he was an average size. So most assume not like the Nadi Behuda. Most assume that it wasn't miskat nashiurim, and the Nadi Behuda was bigger than other people. That's why. And Moshe also. Moshe was very short. But apparently his fist, it doesn't necessarily correspond to how tall or how short you are. You can have fat fingers and be a short person. So his tefach was 3.6 inches, and others all that tefach is smaller than 3.6. To quote the Chazadish, for many years he used to disagree with Rav Avram Chaim Noy about the shiurim. Rav Chaim Noy had normal shiurim, Chazadish always had exaggerated. And then at the end of his life, he agreed with that. This, at the end of his life, they were never the farsim that too much. Everybody still talks about the Chazon Ish Shir and Rav Avraham Chaim Noy Shir, but Rav Nebenzahl published his edition of the Mishnah Brura, and he has his footnotes on the bottom of the page here, and there he tells about what I heard from Shlomo Zalman Reibach. He has his own comments on the end of the 6th volume. He has general pieces of information. So he writes, he heard from Abchaim Kanievsky that at the end of his life, the Chazon Ish backed out from all his funny sheet of shiur. And he said, Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noy is right. So there should have been a verse in that, the Chazon Ish backed out. Everybody's still talking with the Chazon Ish shiur.
Right, but that's the whole
Chazon Ish
shiur. Every single one of
them. These, about how big the tefach, the gezaris, and all of this. At the end of his life, he agreed with him. Yeah. I met a fellow who, this fellow married a granddaughter of Rabbi Yashin. And Chaim Kanievsky is married to Rabbi Yashin's daughter. So and he has to wear the shidduch with his fellow, Yashin's granddaughter, not his daughter, cousin. He married a granddaughter. So he said when he got engaged to the granddaughter, so one of the places they had to go, they had to go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Taikon, already in the shidduch. So he said he gave him a few almonds, he gave him three almonds. And then they said, say, bari nefashos. He said, give me some more almonds. He said, no, first say, bari nefashos, then I'll give you some more almonds. So he said, when they wrote up the story, they wrote that he gave him five almonds. He said, it's not true, they only gave me three almonds. He insisted to demonstrate, three almonds is a kadai, say the bracha, then I'll give you all you want. And he's the one who said that the Chazanish backed out from his funny shiur and all the big shiur. So the Gemara tells you how much space, empty space, you should have on the bottom of the paper. You should have a tefach on the bottom, and how much space on top. You should start. The books don't start here. The Gemara doesn't start by the way, it always does. There's always a little margin. So you should have a tefach on the bottom, and gimel etzbois. An etzba is the thickness of the thumb at the point that it's fat. That's called an etzba. And three etzbois on the top. That's if you have a sacred Torah. Shir gil namat tefach namat gil namat. They daf le daf between one column and the other. How much space do you have to have? Kim loy revach rechav shtei etzbois. You should have it. A normal sacred Torah, you should have like according to the Chazanish, an etzba is an inch, slightly less than 2 inches, in between one column and the other. Kimloi Rebach Rechem Shtei Etzbos. Ube Chumashim, Chumashim doesn't mean a printed Chumash. Chumashim means in the days of the month, they would write a Sefer Bereishis and have a separate, Sefer Shmos and have a separate. Well, it's written on a cloth. So if it's only a Chumash and not a whole Sefer Torah, but Chumashim, the Mato, on the bottom, margin should be shoulder shaped voice, but the mile only shtei voice, and daf for daf, to Malay Rebach, Rech, a gurul, one a gurul, not shtei voice. Shtei voice is two a gurul is an etman, same thing. Then shita the shita, how much empty space do you have to leave? Kimaloy shita. You don't leave a lot of empty space. You only leave kimaloy shita. Let's say you have, instead of having 60 lines, you have 30 lines. And then in between one line and the next. If the whole column is consistent, and between the first line and the second line, between the second and the third, you have the space of two lines, that's not considered a discrete. He wants to have more empty space. So if it's consistent in the whole column, in between each line and the next line, you have Kimlo Shtei Shuras, so then that's not a problem. But let's say the whole column, you have 60 lines, on the average, you have 60 lines on the column. And every space between one line and the next line is kimelo shita, and then you have all of a sudden kimelo shtei shita. So if you leave an empty line, that's considered you put a psucha where it didn't belong. The Gemara says if you put a psucha where it doesn't belong, the whole sefer Torah is possible. If you put a stuma instead of a psucha instead of a stuma, you put a psucha where it doesn't belong. So when you skip a whole line and you start on the next line, that's considered a psucha. So you pass on the whole sefer Torah. But if the whole column is consistent, it's not consistent with the rest of the Sefer Torah. The rest of the Sefer Torah, the columns only have a little space in between one line and the next. But if this whole column is consistent, you have enough room to write two lines. But the whole column is consistent. So that's not called that you put a psukh where it didn't belong. That's let's say you get to the last page. You have only one pasuk left on the last page. And you have to end at the bottom, and every line has to have at least 9 letters. So you can leave empty spaces in between. Or Tosafot says, make bigger letters, and leave bigger empty spaces in between, so that you'll, because yeah, you gotta fill one pasuk has to fill up a whole column. You have to have bigger letters, Tosafot says, and you have bigger spaces in between. If they're all consistent, they're all the same distance from each other. But then you didn't put a psucha where it doesn't belong. Common practice is in the Megillah Esther that Aseres Bnei Haman take up a whole page, and they write it in big letters. So the question is, what are they writing big letters? The Vav Vayzasa is supposed to be bigger than the other. Some of the letters are supposed to be small. Some are supposed to be big. But here you have all the letters are bigger. So the answer is, but the whole column is like that. That's not considered bigger letters. And then you have empty spaces in between one line and the next. You have big empty spaces. That's not considered you put a psuch where it didn't belong, because the thing is consistent. This whole column, that's how it's many. It's not consistent with the other columns before and after, but in this column, it's consistent. So that's not considered as if you're stuck in a psuch where it didn't belong. Table to table, how much empty space do you have to leave between one word and the other? Can lo os katan, have to be able to squeeze in a yud. It has to be noticeable that you have to be able to see. This is the beginning of the word. This is an empty space in the yud. It has to look like an empty space. Benos and yos, how about between one letter and the other? You don't need. There's no shape. Lo chut asar, just as long as it's not touching. But as long as not touching means when the bakari. You don't go with a magnifying glass to see, and it's not touching. You have to stand like when the Nekriya Sotara, this Sefer Torah is on the Shulchan, the Balkar is looking from above. And if it looks like the letters are touching, then the Pasuk says it doesn't help that. If you stand closely with a magnifying glass to see, that it's not touching. It depends if you look from a few feet away, the way you normally need. You don't read a Sefer like this. You read a Sefer, you keep at a certain distance, normal. Normal people keep a certain distance away from it. The Kriya Sotara, the Balkari stands a foot or 2 feet away, and he learns. So if it looks like the letters are touching, then it doesn't help if you use a magnifying glass and see that they're not touching. It has to look like it's not touching. So that's the din. In ois la ois, you have to have kim lo chut asayr. It shouldn't be touching. Also, you have to leave empty space. He planned to make a whole Sefer Torah. He owes the columns, you know, and then they tell him, but you have to leave empty space on the bottom, a whole tefach, and on top you have to leave three inch boys. He's going to lose out on writing. He's going to kvetch, he's going to squeeze together, he's going to write 5 lines in the space, which should have only been enough for 3 lines. He's going to write the letters smaller, because he doesn't want to lose all of that space, the parchment. So it says in the Brisa, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't make tiny letters. You shouldn't feel bad that he's losing a whole tefach on the bottom, losing 3 eitzvos on top, he's going to make tiny letters. That's not Zekele Madveir. It's not a Hira Mitzah. The letters should be all unified. The same size from the beginning of the Torah to the end. It won't pass it to the end. This column is all consistent. It's not called Oisis Tan, not called Oisis Gnomus. But it's not that pretty Sefer Torah. It's a dinner. It's a kale down there. They shouldn't scratch in a lot of letters because of the empty space on the bottom, the empty space on top. Or, I'm saying, Rabbi Shemin Shito. Shito is going to lose space in between one line and the other, so he's going to write kind of, I'm saying, Rabbi Shemin Parsha the Parsha. He has to leave a psucha, stuma. He shouldn't feel bad that he's wasting parchment. That's the way he's supposed to do it. There's Damna La Teva Baschamish Oisias. At the end of the line, and there's a word that has 5 letters. So the din is that a Sefer Torah does not require sirtut on every line. You just need sirgul. The sirtut is you scratch out a little bit an outline of the column, and you try to keep within the boundaries of the column. You don't write past the border on the right side, you don't write past the border on the left side. If one or two letters will be sticking out of the Bikashi, but it will be nicer if the letters are not sticking out. On Mezuzah, the din is that you have to have Sirtut on every line. And on Sefer Torah, you don't need Sirtut. Tosis writes, there is a din in the Rishami called Apata Manodabu Ve'asen Nikra Hedyot. Tosis is the beginning of Gittin, what's this? If a person eats in the Sukkah when it's raining, he's an idiot. Hedyot is an idiot. Koin Hedyot. It's a Greek word for a common. So Koin Hedyot is not a Koin Gadol. He's a plain Koin. An idiot is a commoner. He's not an intelligent person. Most people are not so intelligent. So you call it a Hedyot. So if a guy sleeps in the sukkah when it's raining, he's Nikra Hedyot because there's no Kima Mitzvah. The Rishonim asked that the Gemara says that God Lamitzuvayis and Rishonim Mitzuvayis. If a man shakes a lulav, he gets more schar than a woman. But if the woman is then Mitzuvayis, the man is Mitzuvayis. So Rishonim asked, why does the woman get schar at all? Why don't you say that the Kalapatam Aradavayis and Nikra Hedyot? So the Rishonim answered, the Meiri and Perek Chayvo quotes several answers. Ban has a discussion there also. So they quote a few answers. The bottom line is, the answer is, if there's no kiyum at all, the guy's going to sleep in the sukkah, we eat in the sukkah when it's raining, the din is teshu came to do. If it would be his own house, and it would be raining in the dining room, he would eat in the kitchen, he would eat in the bedroom. So if he eats and sleeps in the sukkah, there's no kiyum on mitzvah at all. But if a woman shakes a lulav, there is a kiyum on mitzvah. So that's the basic answer. The Rishonim give different answers. How do you determine whether there is a kiyum on mitzvah? There's not a kiyum on mitzvah. Why do you say if it's raining, there's no kiyum on mitzvah at all? And if a woman shakes a lulav, then there is a kiyum on mitzvah. That's what the Rishonim discuss. How do you decide when there is a kiyum on mitzvah and it's not nikra hedya? You get scha, you get lescha. And when you say that it's nikra hedya, there's no kiyum at all. But Taisus quotes that Yerushalmi, regarding this idea. What if the Sefer wants to have a line on every line in the Sefer Torah? Most Sefer Torah do have on every single line in the Sefer Torah. They say you don't need it. They say you only need the four lines on the outs, on the margin of the columns. You only need on every line in the mezuzah. In the tefillin in the Sefer Torah, you don't need it. But Tosfos says if the Sefer does it to make a neater ksav, then he's not nikra hedya. Then he does it because of zakeh that day. He wants it to look pretty. It's a lot of good. You can't say nikra hedya. So that's the topic here. The last two lines are laman on laf. He's at the end of the line, and he has a word that has five letters. And then he has the line on the right side, the left side of the column. And it would have been nicer if he could squeeze the whole five letters in the line within the margin. He can't. So the Raisa says, you shouldn't write two within the cirgul and the three letters out. You should have the right of the letter should be within the letter. Rather what? What he should do is shalosh b'toch hadaf v'shtayim chutz l'daf. That's prettier. To have two letters chutz l'daf is not something. What if he's missing? What if he's at the end of the line? He has to write the word S to the word S, or Av, or Bain, or Ain. The whole word only has two letters. So we just said before, if you have a word that has five letters, as long as you have three letters within the margin and two letters sticking out is okay. What if the whole word only has two letters? So is it permissible to write the whole word chutz l'daf? No, that's not nice. The whole word only has two letters. That's not right. No, you can't remain on daf. You shouldn't write the whole word outside of the margin. Don't write at the end of the line. Don't start writing it. Write at the beginning of the next line the word. Sure. The problem is, what is the Ela Chayzer V'Kayseh? Why is Chayzer V'Kayseh? Sounds like the whole word is S, and he wrote the word S out of the margin, thinking it's only two letters. So it says you write the word S again in the beginning of the next line inside the margin. You have an extra word in the Sefer Torah. Extra word will pass on. The Rambam says, yes, it can knuckle down. The Rambam had that line in the Gemara and Gittin. Spoke about it. The one Gittin says, Darshan Chos Yeriah, he's missing all Yeriah, and the stitches to the stitches. Yeriah has five, six columns in it, up until eight, between three and eight columns in it. So the Gemara says, Darshan Chos Yeriah, it's missing Yeriah and Shmos. And this week we're letting Farshas Dvar, not going to let Shmos. But Darshan Chos Yeriah, you don't learn Kriya Sater, you have to have a whole Sefer Torah. Not enough if you have a whole Sefer Dvarim. If you have less than a Sefer Dvarim, then it's called Kriya Baal Peh. If you have a whole Sefer Dvarim, then it's called Kriya Mitoch HaKzav. If you have a printed Chumash, then it's called Kriya Baal Peh. Because a printed Chumash doesn't have Kedushas Chumash. If you have a written Sefer Dvarim HaKlaf, that's the Sefer Shalom. That's called Kriya Mitoch HaKzav. So the Gemara has a Sofik and Masech is Gittin. Are you permitted to learn Kriya Satorah in Shul, in Tzibur, from Menachumashim? A chumash means you just have a chumash on klaf written properly by a sefer, but it only has sefer dvarim. It doesn't have the whole chamish of chumash there. So the Gemara says it's not right to lay from chumashim if they kaber atzibur. Kaber atzibur. It doesn't look nice. Kaber atzibur. That's a deal in the achrayim. What if the moichel on a kaber? does Tziva have the right to be Nochem HaMikra? That's what the shtick that they have in all the shuls. The Gemara says that Mikra Adin, the Mishnah says in Gittin, Mikra Adin, a woman can get an Aliyah, says in the Mishnah. But then the Gemara quotes a Brisa, but when they cover that Tziva, we don't allow it. So the Achrayim have a whole deal. What if the Tziva is Mechal HaMikra? They don't talk about this one, they talk about other cases. What if the Tziva is Mechal HaMikra? They have a right to it. Yeah, but what is the cover at Tziva, let's say? Why can't you learn from Chumashim? If they cover at Tziva, what's the cover at Tziva? So the Pashtus is that on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, it says in the end of Parashas Mishpatim that they brought special kavanas. That was the Geirus of Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu read from the Sefer HaBris. He read from the Sefer HaBris. What in the world is Sefer HaBris? We don't know what it is. What's Sefer HaBris? So Rashi writes on Chumash. Rashi quotes from the Chilta. Sefer HaBris is from Bereishis till Parshas Mishpatim. That was the Sefer HaBris. So that was the Sefer HaBris at that time, because that's all they had at the time of Maimon HaSinai. Then over the 40 years in the Midbar, Rabbeinu Shlomo told Moshe Rabbeinu, what did him? And the Gemara is not sure. Every time the Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu Din, he wrote it down. Parshios, Parshios, he wrote it down. And maybe he didn't write anything till the end. Till the end of the Avoyim Shom. And the Torah was given the three different versions. The Torah, as we have it, is a combination of three different texts. There's text A, text B, and text C. That's what the Apikursim say. But that's what the Gemara says. That's what it says in the Chumash. It says, the Gemara points out, the Gemara in the first paragraph of Gigan, it says a lot of Nadabash al Moshe the Har Sinai Lema. Then it says a lot of Nadabash al Moshe the Ol Moed Lema. Ol Moed is the Avoyim Shon on the Midma. Then sometimes Nadabash al Moshe the Arvis Moed Lema. And the same thing were written with three different texts. At the end of the Avoyim Shon, the Rabbi Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to put text A, and over here put text B, and over there use text C. He tells him at the end of the Avoyim Shana. So the Gemara in Gittin is not sure. What happened to the whole Avoyim Shana? The Rosh Hashanah dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu about that. Moshe Rabbeinu had to say word for word, letter for letter. He had to say, Shechinah Medaberes Mitoch Rana. And he delivered the Nebuah to Bnei Yisrael and said word for word what the Rosh Hashanah told him. But, and each time it was a different text. At Har Sinai, there was one text. And all Moed, and there are 40 years of the text, Arvis Moed, there's the third text. And then at the end of the Avoyim Shana, the Rosh Hashanah told him to put it together. So the Gemara is not sure whether every time the Rosh Hashanah gave to Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nebuah, he wrote it down, then at the end he had all these editions, three different editions. Then the Rosh Hashanah said, over there, use text A, over here, use text B. Over here, it's a composite of three different texts. That's where the Apikursim got it from. Rashi and Chumash writes, by the Chet HaMeragim, the Rashi Shlach, Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. When you want to tell a lie, if everything you say is going to be a lie, no one's going to believe you. If you have to see truth, that's a lie. Called Bashek, Hashemit, Chilos, and Dvarem, is Enem, is Kayim. No one's going to go for the lie. So the Meragman had a first say. Eretz Yisrael is a wonderful place. Eretz Yisrael, Chol Advash. Efes, however, Kiyazom. But there's a hitch over here. But if they would have said only negative, 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 then they would not have been believed. See, the Apikursim also. We say the whole Torah is a composite of different texts. That's what it says in the Gemara. Mark got it from the Chumash. That's what it says in the Chumash. But then they said all the three texts were written by human beings. Nothing is Min HaShamayim. That's the Apikursim. We believe all the three texts were Min HaShamayim. What was the purpose of having three different texts? That's all Machlok is HaTanoim. They're on Chagiga. The first part in Chagiga, the Chazanish, has a whole essay. Chazanish, Chelek HaRechayim, put together all the Chazanishim in the order of the way the things appear in Shulchan Aruch HaRechayim. So this they put by Shavuos. After you have the Din of Pesach, then you have the Din of Shavuos. So they put this Seder Ksivas HaTorah, Seder Mesiras HaTorah. So they put this essay. The Chazanish wrote it as a separate essay. After he passed away, then they put everything in order. They put this where would it belong, Hilchos Shavuos. So the Rambam, the Gemara says that Tav Shechos Yiriyah. So if you're missing a whole Yiriyah, you can't play. It doesn't say that. It says Tav Shechos Oisachas. That's what the Ramban Achumish and the Hagdama Achumish is spoken. Ramban quotes the Zohar like that, and the Rambam writes also like that. As if he had the Zohar, I had some other source that says also. Zevter Shechasa Rai Sachas is Psula. He can't lay. Not only Chasi Riachas, he can't lay. Zevter Shechasa Rai Sachas. Then the Rambam writes, what if you have an extra letter that doesn't belong? He writes, yes, it cannot belong. If you have an extra letter, that's equivalent to a situation where you're missing a letter. Where did he get that idea from? Yes, it cannot belong. That's a din in Hilchos Shefes. There's a din if you have a cow that has five legs. The cow is supposed to have four legs. Let's say you have a cow that has two hearts. It's supposed to have one heart. It's supposed to have two hearts. So if you have, yes, sir, you have an extra organ. So we don't always say, and you're there, the whole discussion, when it applies, when it doesn't apply, all of the discussion. So there's, sometimes there's a din, yes, it cannot fulfill. So Pashto says it's a biological principle. If you have an animal that has an extra organ that doesn't belong, so then it's considered as if it would be missing. Let's say an animal has three eyes. Instead of a cow having two eyes, it has three eyes. Yes, it cannot, but I consider it as if it only has one eye. One eye is not a trefa. An animal that's one eye is not a trefa. So that's not a problem. But if an animal doesn't have four legs, only has three legs, then it's a trefa. But then there's a discussion. Maybe I should say if it has five legs, maybe yes, it cannot. So there's a whole discussion. When it does apply, when it doesn't apply. How did the Rambam know to apply over here? Yeah, yes, it cannot. You have to say, if it has an extra letter, is the equivalent of being missing a letter. How did the Rambam get that idea? Where did he get that from? That's what they point out. There's a Gemara in Megillah that has this idea. The Gemara says, if he laid in Kriyas HaTorah bit Sibur, he can't lay from Megillah. In some shuls, they have the name of Ksuv written on cloth. So they don't have, every single Navi is a separate cloth. Let's say in Yeshiva, we have the Cheskon and Treyoser. It's one cloth. You can have two Nevi'im and one cloth. So let's say you have all the Chamish Megillahs, and the Megillahs are not so big. You have all the five Megillahs on one cloth. You have Sheashirin, Esther, Eicha, Kohelas. You have it all on one cloth. So the Gemara says, if you're naming the Yochid, if there's no minion, you can lay from the Megillah Haksuva Ben Haksuva. You're laying Kriyas and Megillah Ben Tzibur. If you're laying Megillah Haksuva Ben Haksuva, it's no good. You're not Yotze. Why not? Why is the difference between Tzibur of the Yochid? So the perhaps the pshat is that all the dinam of Geiris are learned out from Maimon HaSin. Maimon HaSin was the Geiris of Klal Yisrael. So they had, before Yitzias Mitzrayim, they had Milo. So we learn out, you have to have, for the men, you need Milo. On occasion in Matan Torah, everybody had to go to mikveh. Doesn't sound like that in Chumash. That's like only the married people had to go to mikveh because of Valkyrie and Polet and Shechna Zera. So the Gemara explains how it's not so. Even the single people, everybody had to go to mikveh. So you learn out you need mikveh. Then it says in the end of Mishpatim, they had to bring karbonas. So you see, a ger has to bring karbonas. Then it says, they said Nasim Mishnah, so a ger has to be the Kabbalah of mitzvahs. He has to commit himself. If he doesn't commit himself to observe the mitzvahs, he just goes through the promotions, just as the bris milah and the mikveh, then he's a goy gomer. You have to have kabbalas. You have to have kabbalas on mitzvahs. How come you don't learn out that you need the lane from sefer bris? It says Moshe Rabbeinu read from the sefer bris. Why? After learning out everything, the Maimon has seen it. So apparently the Chazal understood lane from sefer bris. That's only if there's kabbalas al Torah ayidei hatzibur. It's a yochid who's mekabelol mitzvahs. You don't need sefer bris. But on the occasion of Nes Purim, there was a kabbalas haTorah mechadosh alidei hatzibur. The Gemara says, it says in the pasuk Megillah that kibul the kibul. The Gemara says kibul mashi kibul kvar. As the Gemara Shabbos around the peches asam, there was another kabbalas haTorah alidei hatzibur. Why was there a need for another kabbalas haTorah? They had even had a kabbalas haTorah. They already said Nasim Nishma. So that's a discussion. You have to understand why. But there was a new Kabbalah Sator. So whenever there's a Kabbalah Sator, you need Sibur, then you learn out from the Parshas Mishpatim that you need Kriya from Sefer Abris. So at the time of Matan Torah, the Sefer Abris was from Bereishis till Mishpatim. At the end of the Abayim Shana, the Sefer Abris was the whole Sefer Torah. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Likachalas Moshe Lichtav is talking about Terezos Atumos. Vayitnam the Kohanim b'nei Levi. And he said, the Santa Moshe B'tzad Arim B'tzad Shem B'hoyosham B'choliyei. So the Rambam says, what used to be the Sefer Abiyus used to be just from Bereshis till Mishpatim, till Matan Torah. At the end of that Abayim Shana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, now the Sefer Abiyus is the whole Sefer Torah. Now, on the occasion of the Nes Purim, they needed a new contract with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it was a new Kavolos, a Sefer Abiyus, like a contract, Schar B'Yonif contract. So they needed a new Sefer Abiyus. So the Chazal understood, Kima, 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 Mashi, Kima, Kvar. There was a new Kavolos, HaTorah, Yedei Tzibur. And then it says that they wrote, the Mordechai and Esther wrote, Dibei Shalom B'Yam. What did they write? So the Gemara, they wrote the Megillah, and it says Dibei Shalom B'Emes. What do you mean Dibei Shalom B'Emes? So the Gemara says the Megillah Sester is like the real McCoy, Kamito Shalter, just like the Sefer Torah is the Sefer Abris. So the Megillah Sester is the Sefer Abris. But the other Megillahs are not a Sefer Abris. Kohel Sefer and Shir Hashirim are not a Sefer Abris. So the Gemara says if you have Megillah Haksul Ben Haksulim, it's Mitoch Haksav. The Balkar is learning Mitoch Haksav, but it's not called the Sefer Abris because yes, it can have them. If you have five Megillahs and one Klaf, and one of them and four of them are not Sefer Abris, so it pulls down the status of the Megillah Esther. Because yes, it can not hold on. Just like if you had a Sefer Torah with an extra letter, it's equivalent of missing a letter. So if Torah Shachar Esach is no good. And if yes, it is can not. So you have five Megillahs together, one Klaf, and four of them are not a Sefer Abris, only Esther is a Sefer Abris. So I said, yes, it cannot hold on. But this requirement, the lane from the Sefer Abris, that's only the Tzibur, because the Bris was made with the Tzibur. The Bris of Kabbalah Zohar was not made with the Yechid. So that's perhaps the same din. The Yochid, if you're reading the Megillah Shaloh Basor, there's no meaning. So there's no Tzibur, so you don't need it. That should be a Sefer Abris. If you have all the Chomish Megillahs in there, so that's Mitoch Aksav. Same thing, Kriyas Atar. Kriyas Atar on Shabbos is B'tzibur. So you need a Sefer Abris. Sefer Abris, all the five Chamish. If you got a lane this week from a Chumash that only has a Klaf, that only has Chumash Devarim, it would be Kriya Mitoch HaKsav, but it's not called a Sefer Abris. Kriya B'tzibur has to be from the Sefer Abris because the Abris was made with the Tzibur. So the Pashtus is, it doesn't mean Kavod HaTzibur, it doesn't look nice. It looks like they can't afford to have a Sefer Abris. They can't be machan on the cover. That's a din. The reason why the chacham when sat and covered at tzibur means the bris on the Torah is made with the tzibur. Just like the tzibur can't be machan on the cover to lay in the gilak to the maximum, the tzibur can't be machan on the cover to lay from chumash dvar and eden. It'll be kriya mitoch haksav, but it won't be kriya from the sefer abris. Okay, so we got to figure out the rest of the pshat. Okay, we'll continue to learn tomorrow. That's right, baby.